Hey there, Chaos listeners, it's Melly. This week we have our second story, Trap Prey, coming to you. It's written by our very own T. Poboli, who we happen to have in the studio with us today. And after the story, we're going to have a little one-on-one talk with him, just to kind of see where he got his inspiration from the story, why he did it, and maybe what he was thinking. Maybe kind of compare our own thoughts and where we thought the story was going with what he has. So like I said, that'll be coming up at the end of the story. So again, this is Trapped Prey by T. Poboli, and it is narrated by Rain. Enjoy.
The constant moaning, day and night, is more than I can handle. For 3 goddamn days, I've been held up in this abandoned house, listening to. Then, through the second story window I broke to get in here. Lucky those bastards can't climb trees. How the fuck did they track me here? I last saw them 4 days ago when I escaped from the carnage in Taylorsville. Those things were eating everyone in sight. Last I heard, the outbreak was contained 20 miles east in Hempton. Guess the National Guard didn't do quite so good a job after all. So many small towns here in the country fell victim to this so-called disease. Too many good people died. Am I even the last? I'm not sure what the owner feared here in the middle of nowhere, but lucky for me, he has bars on the main floor windows and steel-reinforced doors. There's no basement. So those things can't get in down there, thankfully. So I guess I'm safe for now. Once all the food is gone, I'm going to have to search for more. Somewhere. I'll have to go. I wonder how far I am from the river. If I can find some kind of boat or raft, I can float downriver to Rush's. With a little luck, the outbreak hasn't spread that far south. There's at least 30 of those sons of bitches out there. I found an empty gun cabinet and no ammo, so what can I do to protect myself? All the knives left here are too small. Maybe I can break a banister and whittle it into a spear, or I can check one of those children's rooms for a baseball bat. Why hadn't I checked that before? I'm losing my fucking mind. I woke up this morning to a window downstairs breaking. I'm so glad there's bars on the windows. I think that's the longest I've spent sleeping in a week. I don't know how I'm going to cover up that window. Their moaning is bad enough through a full pane of glass. The memories are starting to come back to me now that I've slept through this whole time. Horrible images. Death flood my thoughts day after day. On my way here, I saw a man get his throat ripped out by one of those beings, those things. The damn ghoul just bit in and tore a chunk out of his body. That poor bastard didn't even have a chance to scream. I'll never forget the one time I saw this pregnant woman. I tried to reach her, but a child of about 6 or 7 got to her first. The little demon bit into her stomach and chewed its way all the way to her unborn fetus. As it was doing that, a second monster reached. Oh, it got her, and it started growing and growing and gnawing on her face. The blood-curdling screams still haunt me to this day. Christ, I'll probably go mad and kill myself before I can be rescued. I've been surviving on cold ravioli and moldy bread for too long now. These creatures have multiplied to about 50 that I can count. There's probably more. I haven't slept for days. Or am I sleeping now and this is all just a really, really bad dream? Someone help me. Anyone, please help me, please. This afternoon I saw a couple trying so hard to make it to the house. I waved to them from the upstairs window, but dared not to make a noise. There were dead people. Oh my God, dead people running after them. The man fell first. I don't know if it was exhaustion or if it was just his last bit of footing that he had left in him, but he was slow and he didn't get very far. The woman went back trying to help him, but she was grabbed by her hair by one of those things. It pulled her down to the ground and sunk its face into her breast, ripping out a huge chunk of meat. Terrified screams drowned out the moaning of the creatures. By the time the monster got to her, four more were already on top of her, tearing and ripping into her. Blood soaked them, and all over the ground. One of those things had her intestines. He pulled them out and he was chewing on them, as if they were a large string of sausages. Her partner fared no better. As he tried to get up, he was bitten on the hamstring. He couldn't walk, he was limping. Instead of trying to fight anymore, he just decided to give up. He curled up in a fetal position and let fate run its course. I'll never forget that day running through my mind like I was never even there, but I was. Oh my God, he was eaten alive. One creature, who at one time may have been a very attractive woman, clawed at his back, ripping, pulling out his kidney. Another one tried to grab it, but she hissed at him and started eating the kidney frantically, like she'd never have another meal. Those bastards hiss now, too. Christ, fuck, shit. Just one more sound to haunt me through my goddamn days. I haven't slept. I don't know what to do. I'm crying. As I scream, the lack of sleep and food are taking their toll. I haven't slept in 4 days and haven't eaten in three. Luckily, this house is on a well, so I've had water to drink. That's about it. But it's enough. Maybe I should just hang myself from that tree. Get it over with. What the hell should I do? At least count there, where over 75 of those things are out there? I can't even count that far. Imagine that. 75 people that want a piece of me. It's almost flattering. Almost. I was never, ever this popular. What the fuck happened? I must have dozed off. How long have I slept? I thought it was a dream. It's been 8 days since I last slept. It's suddenly silent. No moaning. No hissing. No clawing at the windows and doors. They've all gone. All of them. Where'd they go? Did they give up and move on? Had the military come in and cleared them out? I started laughing hysterically. Now was my chance. I'm going to run for Russia's. I'm leaving this journal. I'm leaving it here. So anyone who finds it can understand what a survivor of this ordeal, oh God, has had to endure. Maybe I'll make it. More than likely not. But I have to try. Please, please understand. Please try. Please try to believe.
Well, listeners, I hope you enjoyed that tasty treat from our tea pabola. And as promised, he is in the studio here with us to speak with us today. Go ahead, say hi.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
They didn't eat her. They dumped her in the water.
Well, I apologize for that little interruption, listeners.
That'll be the inspiration for our next story.
Something on the Discovery Channel, I guess, is that great. You know, regardless if we're recording, that was more important than had to be put in there. So.
I suppose. Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. And we decided, you know, I was going to cut this, but we were sitting here talking, and I said, you know what, let's just leave it in. Let's let the listeners kind of see what this process is like, what, you know, what it is we go through and how we insert things and take things out. And I mean, because I could have easily taken that out, and it would have been no problem. But
totally.
I think it kind of adds to the chaos of the show, as we so like to call it. So, so anyway, man, I mean, I guess back to the story, Trapped Prey, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a great story. I really enjoyed reading this story. I mean, how did you get the inspiration for this? Where did this come from?
Well, earlier in the year, I read a book. I forgot who the author was, but it was something like How to Survive a Zombie Attack.
It's more than I can handle.
Yeah.
3 goddamn days I've been held up in this abandoned.
There it goes again.
More technical difficulties.
So what was this book about that you read, that you're telling us about?
It was, like I said, I forgot the author's name. It was like How to Survive a Zombie Attack, and just by reading it, I decided that it would be kind of fun to do a zombie story, because I've been watching zombie movies from Night of the Living Dead.
Well, yeah, they're kind of out a lot now, right now. Yeah. That's the big genre that's being redone. Now it's getting into the torture horror as well.
Right,
so.
Right. And I thought it'd be fun to write, not so much focusing on the zombies and eating everybody, but from the point of view of somebody who's trapped and the psychological toll it's taking on them.
Yeah, speaking of psychological, what was with the use? I mean, it's we kind of hear a child's voice narrating this story, as Rain did such a great job narrating that story. Was it meant to be from a child's point of view, or maybe a young teenager or something? A child, I guess, an adolescence type of point of view.
Not originally, but thinking about it, decided to, the way it was written, it was almost like coming from a child, like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, you know, preteen type of thing. And just decided to go with that and make it a little bit more horrific, seeing as, you know, a kid is going through this instead of an adult.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know that definitely, I mean, added some of the, I guess, the drama to it for me, where it was like, whoa, this is, you know, this is coming from someone who shouldn't be speaking like this, but yet, when circumstances are where they're at, I guess you kind of see, you know, anybody can be like that. Anybody can open up or lose their mind like that. So you're kind of throughout the story, then we're kind of watching this fragile little mind slowly break.
Right, and the reason why I left it open-ended like that is for people to wonder, did this child make it?
Or, well, that was going to be my next question was, you know, did she make it? I mean, I know she's talking about taking this boat down the river to Rush's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does she make it there? Does she get there? Do the zombies get her on the way? I mean, can we expect like a sequel to this story at some point? Or is it just kind of, you leave it there and let us make our own conclusion?
Well, you never know with what's going on up in my little mind that's up there. So there might be a sequel to this and you find out about her later, or not. It's kind of a mind fuck.
Nice. I like how you put that, plain and simple. It's simply a mind fuck.
Basically.
That's great. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we don't hear a name for this child.
Right.
So there's not a name for this child, which also kind of leaves it more open-ended and makes it a little bit, I guess in my mind, a little bit creepier.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, you're involved, you're listening to this child's story and where they're going, but you don't know who this child is.
Right, she's anonymous.
Right, and I think that adds to some more, you know, more mystery to it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that you added that in. That's great. That's awesome. So, again, I mean, listeners, you know, let's say thank you to T for being in the studio today and helping us with this chaotic and hilarious interview. I mean, thanks for sticking it out through this. I mean, if you guys want to hear more, definitely, we'll definitely have some more coming from what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
From Mr. T. Pabola here.
Oh, yeah.
So we should expect a lot more.
I've got more nightmares up in my head.
More issues the pills won't quiet.
Exactly. A few more voices, you know, telling me what to do, so.
Great, great.
We'll see what happens.
That's awesome, man. Thanks. Thank you for coming into the studio. We really appreciate you being here.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Anytime, man. Feel free to stop in. Feel free to narrate some for us, too. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
Great. Well, until next time, listeners, this is your chaotic path.